Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up!
Happy birthday.
Cheers, mate.
That's right. Thought I'd bring some energy to the room, shall I?
The card he got me, by the way, he said another year of lovely you, and he put ish.
Yeah,
in the end.
You've still got to reach a goal, haven't you? You're not completing life just by being completely lovely. So.
Someone did write to me this morning saying happy birthday, Don Leisure, who we've previously spoken about, invited us to the Welsh Music Awards before, didn't he, old Al?
Yes, he did. They've announced, I think, 9th of October.
Ooh.
I think it's 9th of October, next one.
Try and work towards it.
Yeah, we'll try and work towards it.
But he said 36th Chamber, he said the best year, which is a Wu-Tang Clan, Clan album.
Okay,
so nice. Maybe this will be the year I start rapping.
Oh, can't wait.
That's right. Right in with your MC names for me. Yeah.
And we also saw a good birthday challenge for you.
Do we?
With a Guinness World Record.
Oh, yeah, we did. How many litres? 11 litres of Guinness in one sitting.
Yeah.
But I looked at it. How many pints was it?
I think it was like, was it 20 pints?
I thought,
yeah,
give me time.
You could do that.
If I sat in like the TA all day, that's one sitting. I could do that.
I think, should we try it now? And we'll just record the whole thing.
8 hours of me.
See you get worse.
Getting more and more inappropriate.
You basically drink yourself sober.
Needs coffee, which we're drinking right now, by the way. Well, you've just got rid of yours. Bought a nice sausage roll from the butcher's,
didn't you?
For like a mid-morning snack.
Mid-morning snack, see, I'm always spoiling you. Now I should probably announce the other thing, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should probably. No, I haven't at all.
We
have a new shipmate.
We do. We have a new we have the younger shipmate now, I think. 5 weeks today.
Yeah.
So Florence Miriam Morgan was born on 28th of March. God, make sure I get all that right, haven't I? So, I've loved it. Getting ready for fatherhood and just getting into it. And obviously, we've been hinting a bit.
Yeah.
We've also been talking. There's some big stuff happening. But now she's settled in well. I think I'm signing her up. She's going to be a guest in about 2 weeks.
Quality. She's already signed her name on my card, hasn't she, as well?
Yes. Yeah. Well, she wrote the card.
Better writing than you.
Yeah, it's just easier doing that. But no, it is. It's fascinating just sitting and watching babies.
Yeah.
And just watch them take things in.
Yeah.
The windy farts.
Yeah, and the absolutely apocalyptic shits from now and again.
Yeah, so I've worked out like the past few mornings, about six, I change a nappy. And as soon as I undo it, I look out like, I'm going to wait for 5 minutes. And that's happened regularly now. So I was going to record like the sound and send as a birthday gift to you.
Oh.
But I didn't time it.
There's
right,
still
so
time.
There's still time. I'll see what I can do.
But
you can work out, is it Florence or Brynn?
Yeah. I know your sound.
You do.
But no, I think it's we spoke about it, and obviously we've got children now, what, 4.5 years apart ish and it might be we return to a cabin session at some point and just reflect, because I think it's nice, and like anyone who's a parent out there, you know, we might reach out to you in advance and ask you for some voice notes or some thoughts. You know, you can chip in, because time kind of speeds up from this point. I hate to say that, like, but it just does, because we were talking about photographs. When you had some photos done, we had our wedding photographer come back and do photos of Nora when she's a baby. My mum and dad have got them plastered all over the house, and I always stop and look at them, because she looks so different, and you see the change, but it's still Nora,
still her in there. Yeah.
So right, we'll go like we're in our new format.
We are, new format, nice, Absolutely. Short, snappy, get your coffee, get out for a walk, let's go.
Get your, I thought you were going to say something else there. Okay, so we've got a new pod, and a new theme.
I mean, it's better than an old pod, isn't it?
So. Yeah. We're going to revisit, redo an old pod.
One.
Who are you? So we thought we'd do the Race for Space. It's been mentioned to us before, but then we both like a band called Public Service Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And you had an idea, didn't you?
Yeah. So I thought essentially a lot of their work is around using clips or, you know, sound bites, which actually, interestingly, I found out that the British Film Institute helps them access, so they can access more archives, and then they put sort of music to that to tell the story, and they've got a variety of different ones.
Yes,
there's one I think you said about the Berlin Wall.
Yep.
We've got, obviously, about Welsh mining.
Yeah, which we'd like to do anyway, wouldn't we?
Yeah, and those bits. And what was the other one we said?
There's one about Titanic.
That's it, about Titanic. So
I think they did one about the BBC as well. Yeah, that's the next one or something.
Yeah, there's a new one coming out as well. But yeah, just quit. So they're a London-based band. But interestingly, all of them have reservations about singing. All of them have something where they're not comfortable to sing. So it's turned into this format of music. For me, it sounds sort of similar to Lemon Jelly style, where you have the sound bites, and then the way they build the music underneath, it's almost like they haven't got a specific sound, because each album captures the atmosphere of each setting. So yeah, what we'll do is it'll kind of pop up now and again, almost like a public service broadcasting miniseries.
Yeah, I think that's great. Like we did it with Beatles, didn't we?
Yeah.
So it also gives us a chance to talk about a topic in a different way, doesn't it? Like a big topic, we all kind of know of the race for space. We all kind of know the certain elements of it. Mm. We're going to just try and use part of the album to introduce it, but then maybe just pull out some of the key features, but also some that maybe people didn't know about, and the wider context of what was going on in the 60s.
Yeah.
I think it's important to probably start with the whole East versus West thing, isn't it? There's you've got the communist beliefs on the one side, mainly driven out of Russia and China, and then you've got capitalism, consumerism of the West. And obviously post-World War II, literally a wall goes up, you know, and that divides Europe into two halves, and then two ways of life. You know, people that would have previously lived together were split, and then, there was a massive sort of fear then around nuclear war, wasn't it? Because that's what ended World War II. And then it was always that red button, wasn't it? It's been satirised in, what's the film, Dr. Strangelove, if anyone wants to, it's a great film. It's funny, but it's actually, I've watched a documentary about it, like there was so much in that that came close to happening or did happen as well. So that's a good point. So there's all that fear. And amongst that, there's this thing where everyone goes, who's going to get to space first?
Yeah.
Isn't it? You know, it's like I call it, excuse my French here, but dick showing. Yeah. You know, who can get up there first? You know, who's going to be the ones going to win that battle? Mm. And it kind of gives them a little bit of an upper hand in the war. But where would you go from that?
Well, I found it interesting. Well, I thought, I'll have a look at dates of where it started. And so technically the US started, USA started first. And I think it was July 1955. And then in August 1955, Soviet Union came in.
Yeah.
So it sort of shows, like you say, you know, it's like, if you're going to do it. No, we're going to do it first.
We're going to do it.
We're going to race. We're going to be you. And the question is, I know there's a list of like the number of people who lost their lives, cosmonauts, astronauts, through all of this. And it's like, how much safety was disregarded in racing to actually get there? I don't know, but...
Yeah, that's something. It was almost like they were the technology was developing as they were doing it, wasn't it? So there was obviously going to be accidents, and there was going to be things that went wrong. And I think it was like, was it the dog that went up into space first? Did they get a dog up into space first, wasn't it? The first man then to go up into space and orbit it was a Russian, wasn't it? It was Yuri Gagarin.
Yeah.
And that is a song on the public service broadcast album. They call it Gagarin. It's very like Hollywood and flashy. Because I was talking to my mother and father-in-law, and they were like, Gagarin was like, he was a celebrity worldwide. So you talk about like that, he's Russian. So the Russian's like, we've put a man up in the moon. He's orbited. We've achieved that first. But at the same time, he becomes a global star. Like, you know, and there was things about apparently, like, when he was going round the earth, the news broadcast would tell you where he was, and people, school kids and that would go out and wave up into the sky and stuff like that. And then I think he went on a world tour to meet people. He was a proper celebrity. He was massive.
Mm.
But you can imagine the Russian people, like, in the background, hey, hey, hey. And the Americans, like, almost like...
That's how Russians laugh.
Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Cigar at the corner of the Stalin, I basically mentioned, right? But... Like, you know, then they're like, so America start plotting, like, we've lost that race, so now it's like, we're going to put someone on the moon.
We got it, and that's sort of the whole, the American dream thing as well, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Like, you know, everyone was pursuing to get this, wait, no, we failed, okay, well, what can we win? What can we do?
It's exactly that.
I'm interested, obviously, with Gagarin, so he died age 34 in a plane crash.
Did he?
But it's been very, very hushed up.
Has it?
About what happened.
That's interesting.
And so there was a push in 2007 for it to be reinvestigated, and the Kremlin vetoed it reopening. So, and that's the thing. No, it is with the Cold War. There was so much secrecy and so much being hidden away that what did happen? You know, there's talks of KGB and actually the Air Force being involved in his death. But I guess we'll never know. And there's probably loads of conspiracy theories. But then I guess talking about conspiracy theories... Well, we got to the moon landing as well.
I think, and it's one, you know, taking theories away, it's one I can see the argument on.
Mm.
You know, you've got to think about that again. We talk about wider context. So, just to give people a little bit of a timeline, USSR, so Russia, you know, at the time, or Soviet satellite states of Russia, they launched Sputnik, like you said, the end of the 50s, where it was the first artificial satellite. Then they sent a dog up a month later called Laika on Sputnik 2. And then the US sent theirs up in 58, so they're behind. Yeah. They're doing it after, right? So they're getting satellites up into space. They also, obviously this is the start of using satellite communications, isn't it? And things like that as well, which still play a part in how we live our lives today. In 1959, NASA announced the first astronaut group, the Mercury 7. And then in 1960, the first cosmonauts were selected. So you think, was it 69, the moon landing? Yeah. This is almost a full decade earlier. But then in 61, and you know, from America, I think this is a bit out of nowhere, Gagarin goes up into space. Yeah. Actually, we've just passed the anniversary of it. It was April the 12th on Vostok 1.
Yeah.
Then you look at, like, it takes the Americans a year to get their man to do the same, which was John Glenn. Now, who knows John Glenn?
Yeah.
Exactly. No one knows John Glenn, like, because it was Gagarin did it.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets lost. I didn't know that.
In it, yeah.
Then Russia, and I do think this about communism, right? At this time, they did put women forward, you know, a lot of the time. So in 63, she becomes the first woman in space, is Valentina Tereshkova.
Yeah.
And I find that there's that communist state that everyone is just seen as an equal. I'm not going to dive into the intricacies of communism. I know there's a lot of shit with communism. But what I'm saying is the idea was that we're all on an equal. So a woman, if she wants to go into space, a woman can go into space. But I think Western thoughts at that time were a bit, woman's place was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I think that was worth noting. We're getting there now. So the Soviet government in 64 give the go-ahead to two moon programs, a flyby and then a landing program. And then they were the first ones, the Russians again in 64, to launch the first multi-person spacecraft.
Yeah.
First spacewalk, so guy getting out and walking outside the aircraft, was in 65 by Russia. So you can imagine America are watching. The States do this a week later. So I think, you know, we're building towards it. The death of the president, we'll be going down. So first docking in space took place then in 66, which was Neil Armstrong and David Scott on Gemini 8. They docked with an Agena target. I don't know what that means. It's probably docking with another craft in space. Yeah. But then this is probably the first big one. We are getting to the moon landing. But in 67, astronauts Virgil Grissom, Ed White and Roger Chaffee were killed in a fire during a launch pad test. They actually mark that on the album with Fire in the Cockpit, where they play the it's really harrowing, actually, but they play the sort of radio news contact laying back that these people have died. Yeah. Very.
Actually, that was the last one I listened to before.
Was it?
Yeah.
Very. And actually, just before you walked in the door, it flicked onto the next track. Okay. Yeah. So that's quite funny. Like, you know, timely, should we say. And then we get to, you know, we've got US launched the first flight of the Apollo program in 68. The first crewed flight around the moon took place. So this is where the Americans are kicking in now, in 68. In 69, the Soviet moon rocket exploded. And then 1969, the first humans landed on the moon. So that's the timeline, right?
Yeah.
Let's come to the conspiracy. What do you think when you see the footage or read about it? Where's your view on it? And
it's hard. I mean, listening to all of that, it's suddenly like USSR or Soviet Union to win everything.
Mm.
So America's like, we need to win something. How can we do it? What can we do? And there is a lot of conspiracies, like the whole thing about the wind, isn't
there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, how is there wind on the moon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist.
No.
I don't know enough about space. All I know is, yes, people go up into space. You know, that does happen. Obviously, you know, for us, we got Tim Peake.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, recently going
you
up.
You see the satellite images, don't we? Yeah.
But I'd like to believe it.
Mm.
And I know someone who very much believes it naturally was Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah,
because he punched someone, didn't he? He was like in his 80s and someone challenged him.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
I just think, you know, my and I'm balanced, I don't know.
Yeah.
Your point is really good about America feeling they need to win.
Mm.
Hollywood's booming, and you think to yourself, at that time, that's something quite easy you could stage, because the films were becoming more cinematic when they were becoming bigger budgets and all that sort of stuff. Hollywood, and it's just like, for me, it seems like something that they could do. And it's also, like you said, trying to get one up. I don't know. Like, I think is the thing. And I get, like, I get both sides of it. And I also think, like, for Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, obviously, they must get frustrated. They must have and get frustrated when people challenge it.
I'm not as frustrated. Is it Michael Curtis? Is he the third person?
Was he?
Yeah, so there's three people. So you don't... I'm sure it's Michael Curtis. He's the third person.
Ah,
But he didn't actually go on the moon. I think he stayed in...
He stayed in the rocket.
He stayed in, but he always gets forgotten.
And I think it's just... Yeah, so they can... I just don't know. I think for me, like, look at it, you want to believe it. The challenging thing, I always think, is why haven't they gone back?
Yeah.
You know, we had loads of talk, didn't we, about, like... Which is absolutely bonkers, right? Mm. This is a classic human thing to do. We're destroying this planet to a degree, in a lot of aspects. So we need to look at, can we resettle elsewhere? You know, like the moon would seem the obvious option. But no one's been back there.
No, Michael Collins. Sorry, I just
Michael
checked.
Collins,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, no one's been, yeah.
For like, what, 50, 60, what is it? What we're coming up to now, 60 years, isn't it? 55 years?
Yeah. So with all the technology we got.
Yeah.
Like...
I just don't...
We're pushing to go to Mars, but why don't we just say, oh, let's just have a look at the moon again.
Yeah.
But like you're saying about, you know, the environment and sustainability and things like that. So an interesting fact is the Welsh government have stated that in 2040, they are pushing to lead the world in sustainable space tech.
And they
signed a contract with Virgin to try
to
do it. Yeah, I had a look, yeah. So
that's
there's
amazing.
A big push in the world, to try and... And also on the theme of Wales... hope I get this right. Tecwyn Roberts was from Anglesey, but he was actually the first flight dynamic officer for the moon landing.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh. Which is one of the main roles in NASA.
So you would be back on the office on...
Yeah, so he was back. And he was initially an engineer. And then, so there was a Welsh hand in the moon landing.
You know what, right? For people as well outside of Wales, just to give you a bit of context, we are one of the leaders, I think, in Europe. I know Britain's not in Europe anymore, but a lot of us still see ourselves as European or class, go against other European countries. We're one of the leaders in recycling.
Mm-hmm.
We've got very sustainable coastline and where we can generate a lot of electricity. I think we generate double what we could potentially use in Wales. And then with, in terms of history, and this might come up in a future podcast, especially if we go back to like the American Civil War.
Mm.
And I looked this up before. If you look at the, I might mention it on an old pod, but if you look at the American Declaration of Independence, I can't remember how many signatories on there, but it was something like 8 of Welsh descent. And I'm reading a book currently about a witch trial that happened in America. True story from the 1600s. And a lot of the main characters in it, because a lot of people moved from England and Wales to America for like a new life.
Yeah.
And they started literally building towns, right? Yeah. And in this particular story, I haven't got to the end bit yet, but a lot of them from Wales.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were looking for like, you know, pretty grim in England and Wales at the time, 1600s, you can imagine. So people who had a bit of money were trying to literally round people up to go abroad. So we've had an impact. I think we've talked about this before. In Ireland, for example, Ireland are very brash about what they do.
Yeah.
But Wales have probably had a similar impact.
Yeah, yeah, and don't really shout about it.
And coming back to public service broadcasting, when we do the Every Valley, we can talk to people about just how much coal and steel Wales sent around the world. But going back to the moon landing, I think, you know, you want a dream.
Yeah.
It's something everyone looks up at the stars, don't they, and think, oh, God, there's got to be more out there.
Yeah.
But there's fair questions.
Yeah. And at least, I mean, if they... didn't do it, Wallace and Gromit did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we just take that. But also, funny, it's a weird segue.
Yeah.
So going on to animation, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned one another. So two main people to do with Race to Space or who were involved as astronauts, Alan Shepard and obviously Virgil Guisom.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderbirds. So
oh,
the names
were
based. So, yeah. So Alan and Virgil's names...
Were
taken from
immortalized
that,
in Thunderbirds.
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually it's written that that's what they did.
Incredible.
I haven't looked at the others, but yeah, so
that's incredible.
They're actually immortalized that way.
Well, that's awesome. And I think like just again around the 60s, I think it's just worth noting that the 60s, with all this going on for the Race for Space, started off as a really optimistic era. Ozzy Osbourne, like, for example, we talked about the Beatles in the past, they broke through, but rock and roll music in general sort of started to come through in the 50s with, like, Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash and all of that. Then when the Beatles came through, it went to mania, and it was like that baby boomer. It was sort of them shedding off the post-war years, weren't it? Because it was very difficult for a good decade or more after war. It was still rations and all that. But then consumerism kicks in. Ozzy Osbourne talks about, like, it was almost like in Birmingham, my life was in black and white, and I started listening to Beatles, listening to rock music, and everything just burst into colour. And I think of that. I think of the 60s as black and white to colour. You know, you start to see that. But we've also got the communist threat. We had the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. Yeah. So when JFK gives an amazing speech, which they take extracts from on public service broadcasts, and about, you know, I believe we need to go to space because it's there.
But his language there was, we choose to go to the moon.
We choose. With God's grace, like a lot of American presidents do. But it was like, he talks about a British explorer saying, I'm not doing it because I have to say, I'm doing it because it's there, or something like that. So that's what we're going to do. We choose to go to space. In the same time, he was sort of like a very inspirational president. He was young, you know, and he seemed to be more in tune with the people.
Yeah.
He also had a lot going on with, like, there was Marilyn Monroe stuff going on in the background. Jackie Kennedy was as popular as probably as him as well. But it seemed like he was the trendy president to suit that era.
Yeah.
But he had a really difficult time because he's kicking off in Vietnam because they're trying to chuck the French out. And obviously with communism, Americans are like, can't let that happen. So they're starting to invest more money to support. They're getting more, they're sucked into it. You've got the Bay of Pigs stuff in Cuba, where the Russians start to look at putting a nuclear program in Cuba. And hence why today, my mum and dad went to Cuba last year, they're still years behind because they got an embargo on them to get stuff in. He gets assassinated in probably like that. Again, we talk about conspiracies. Was it Oswald? And they build this story that this guy was a communist, weren't he, and all that. But there's thoughts to say that he was dangerous, wouldn't he? You want to be silenced. Because we talk a lot about Russia. Russia are a bit more open. People just disappear in Russia and you know what's happened.
Yeah.
In America, it's like, oh, look, it was this communist shot him.
Yeah.
When you read into that, you've got another conspiracy. He dies, Lyndon Johnson comes in. And by the end of the 60s, you know, there's riots in America over peace. At the same time, you've had the Summer of Love going on and all that. Hippies are starting to rise up. You've got some of the best music ever being made. It's a really complicated time, isn't it? A real melting pot where you've got people going, we're not going to listen to the government over here, versus people who are very traditionalist going, no, it's our duty to fight and it's our duty to do these things. And in amongst all this, we've got the race for space where the Russians are winning the first half of the 60s, how I view it. And then, like you said, the Americans are like, we gotta do something. And they either land on the moon or they do it in Hollywood.
but the big thing they talk about is the moon landing. Like when you talk about race to space, people instantly think maybe Gagarin, but also moon landing.
Yeah.
That's the famous bit. But I found it interesting, so I know wrapping up, that technically the space race didn't finish until the 31st of December 1991.
Okay.
With the end of the USSR and Soviet Union. Ah. That's when officially it's written down that the space race finished.
It's like a game, isn't it? It's now finished. Yeah. the moon landing in 69 kind of ends that decade. Probably people would associate that with that and probably the Beatles breaking up. I know I keep saying it, but it's that big at the time. And that's like then we move into a new generation, which we haven't got time for here today. Good documentary. It's a really harrowing documentary, actually. But the Challenger, the tragic of the Challenger one where they got up into space, did a space program, and then it crumbled on landing when the rocket came in. I think it's on iPlayer at the moment. Because obviously that NASA's probably bigger than ever, you know, and still doing stuff, still trying to go further into space and explore what's out there. So just dive in. But definitely, if you're like us and you like different ways of consuming things and you haven't done public service broadcasting, it's a great way, isn't it, to go through. So happy with that?
Happy with that.
What is the oldest alliance between two countries that is still in existence, which is based around politics? The alliance was formed on the 9th of May, 1386. It was between two countries, one of which was the Kingdom of England, and it was called the Treaty of Windsor. The other country is a bit of a surprise. It was the kingdom and is the Kingdom of Portugal. This treaty and alliance has been in place for nearly 638 years and it is still active to this day.
That's quite a long friendship, really, isn't it? But I'll be honest, when he said, I thought, oh, I'll have a quick look, I wouldn't have put Portugal.
No, definitely would not. One of the last ones, because of the rivalry. I would have put
England, France, or, you know, I know there's a rivalry, or something like, you know, close nations, or, you know, Belgium and Netherlands, but it does seem quite a random...
I'm thinking, my first reaction was naval.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, Portugal, large parts of its country is on the border, yeah, isn't it? It's got a big Atlantic border. So this is why a lot of people are like, Brazil's be Portuguese, well,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because South America is so close to it.
Yeah.
So
that was the first thing that I thought of. And I thought, I wonder, you know, like when you hear of the, what they call it, like the Dutch shipping companies and all of that, if they would have had a link, we won't probably have time to find out. But that's where my mind went. But like you said, it's really interesting that the rivalry between those countries now. So when they play football, it seems to have a bit of bite to it, doesn't it? I know there's the Rooney-Ronaldo thing in recent years that kind of did it, didn't they? Ronaldo winked, didn't he, after he got Rooney sent off. But it's not... If you had to do that in a quiz and guess, I wouldn't have put Portugal down.
No. That's interesting. I've looked. So it's actually on like government websites that it kind of came out of France and Spain creating an alliance.
Yeah, I was just seeing that. Yeah,
whether it was under a bit of a threat, like you said, naval.
Yeah.
You know, France and Spain would gain quite a big area of the Atlantic. And actually, Anglo-Portuguese could block that off.
Yeah.
And basically block the whole alliance. So, yeah, an interesting...
If you look here, right, and that is really interesting, because if you want to get round on ship... round to Spain and into the Mediterranean, you've got to pass Portugal, haven't you?
Yeah.
So Portugal, if you're in the UK, is almost a good defence point. And it's funny, isn't it? Because we fought alongside France, obviously, in the two major recent wars. But we, up until that point, we were fighting against them.
Yeah, well, you had, like, Avignon. I can remember I went with school.
Yeah, yeah.
The Battle of Avignon.
And, like, you know, all the things with Napoleon. But if you see here, it's like, the most important part of the treaty stated that... it is cordially agreed that if, in time to come, one of the kings or his heir shall need the support of the other or his help, and in order to get such assistance applies to his ally in lawful manner, the ally shall be bound to give aid and succour to the other, so far as he is able, without any deceit, fraud or pretense, to the extent required by the danger to his ally's realms, lands, domains and subjects, and he shall be firmly bound by these present alliances to do this.
So, and I've just found something that links in. So in World War II, Portugal was neutral, but British forces could refuel there.
Yeah.
So that's basically...
that's it in because action. Because of the alliance in recent, action. Yeah. Because it says here that basically they have never fought in wars on the opposite sides.
No.
And they've never allied to opposite sides. So, but which is interesting, because if you think back... actually, Desi, you want a can of worms. But if you think back to Spain...
yeah.
Right, Spain was neutral in the war, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But Franco was a fascist, and they let the Nazis operated in Spain, so they let Nazis set up camp and base there. Some really good books by Ben McIntyre, who specialises in like deceit during the war. I think there was a film made about Operation Mincemeat in recent years. We might have
that rings a bell. That definitely rings a bell.
Where they floated, he was a Welshman. Yeah. He was found dead in London because he moved to London. Did you?
Yeah.
So he basically made his way to London, ended up homeless.
Yeah, it was good Operation Mincemeat.
And I think, didn't he eat something like some... he was eating like... They put rat poison in food because homeless people were trying to eat it. And he ate it and died. They found the body and they dressed it up as like a high-ranking officer.
Yeah, I did watch it. I'm looking at it now. It was on Netflix.
And they pushed him... was it off the coast of Portugal or Spain? One or
Portugal,
the other?
Spain, yeah.
No, sorry. They pushed him from Atlanta, from the Atlantic Ocean, from a submarine. And he floated it like...
I'm sure he floated into Spain. Yeah.
And he had plans on him that showed... it was deception. Yes.
Yeah. It was weird. I recommend watching it. I was hooked.
There you go.
It.
But Ben McIntyre wrote the book, and it's one of those books that's all fact, but it just reads like fiction.
Oh, yeah, watching the film, I was like, this isn't real. this can't be real. But
this is why we love these facts. Great. Well thank done, Des, again. It was a good one.
It was.
That felt really good, didn't it? I hope people enjoyed it. It's a lot.
I say we raced through it.
We raced through it.
Not enough space.
Oh, God, no, I'm not doing it. Because we're doing well on time.
We are.
We banged that out in 19 minutes and 57 seconds, that section. We're just too good.
You guys are lucky. We've given you 2 seconds free of it right now.
Goodness.
Do what you want with it.
Yeah. Thanks for all the birthday messages. Thanks for putting up my post. And thanks for the birthday messages that continue to come in. It's lovely.
Bit of feedback. Obviously, we travelled with your parents.
Yes.
They took us abroad.
Yes, they did, to Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur.
Getting involved in the Disney.
He did get involved in the Disney. He did wear our T-shirt on holiday. He always does that, doesn't he? So we have been literally around the world. He went to Cuba.
Yep.
We're
not allowed in America now.
Oh, God, we've just been basically bigging up the Russians.
Oh, if we were important and anyone listened to this, we'd be screwed.
Please as well give Des some love with Des Corner. Encourage him to go on. He goes to his little war room, doesn't he, with a typewriter. And he types up these facts off the top of his head, as we know, you know, and then he reads I always think by candlelight, you know, one of those old metal mics that drops from the ceiling and then just goes away when he's done. But until next time, so ta from me.
Ta from him.